Hi there, this is John from the FreeGiftFromGod.com podcast. Today I'm continuing on with the final session in this Armour of God series that I've been doing, and I'm looking at the Sword of the Spirit. This final section and this part of the Armour of God is about the Sword of the Spirit, which Paul describes in this way: and take the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. So the sword of the Spirit, as we see from those words, is the Word of God. There are two points here that are important to us and which we'll look at today. Firstly, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of God, and secondly, the Word of God. The two of these, when they work together as the final part of the armour of God, both protect and provide us a weapon with which we can wage war against the spiritual enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. This Bible study will only provide an introduction, which you should continue to study and look into it more deeply. As always, I'm open to any comments you may have, so you can send me an email at john@freegiftfromgod.com. So let's begin. Let's look briefly at the Holy Spirit first. After the Lord had been resurrected, he appeared to the disciples on a number of occasions in the following weeks. As he departed from them, he told them to remain in Jerusalem and made the following statement: "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And we see that written in the book of Acts chapter 1. The power the disciples received was the power of the Holy Spirit. And this power has many facets and many different aspects. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit that Peter stood up and proclaimed the resurrection of the Lord and explained what the speaking of tongues that the people were hearing was all about. He showed them that this was the fulfillment of the promise of the prophecies in the book of Joel, that the Lord will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and we see that in Acts chapter 2. If we just look at Peter and the rest of the disciples at the time, we can see that the immediate impact of the power of the Holy Spirit changed them from men who were hiding to men who were prepared to stand up and be counted for the sake of the Lord. They became strong and focused in the power of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit led Peter to speak to the people of the wonder and the promises of Christianity. And we see elsewhere, especially in the Gospel of John in chapters 14, 15 and 16, that the Holy Spirit is to be our guide and our counsellor, a comforter, teacher and so much more. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to say in time of need, and he will protect us when we're in danger. And the Holy Spirit is doing the work of transformation in our lives to change us from men of the flesh to people of the Spirit. His work is to bring about in us the nature of Christ, which is the nature of God and the truth of the love of God that resides in his nature. In each of these aspects, with respect to the armour of God, we can see that he, the Holy Spirit, is both defensive and able to take up the fight when necessary in an offensive role. In John 16:13, we'll have a look at the scripture in a moment. I mentioned a moment ago about the information contained in the Gospel of John, and I highly recommend that you read chapters 14, 15 and 16 of John's Gospel, where many aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit are covered. But here in this small section, in John 16:13, we see some of that work, especially as it relates to the sword of the Spirit and the armour of God. It says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." It's part of the work of the Spirit to teach us and to guide us. He will show us the difference between truth and error. Naturally, we have a role to play in this, for we need to be seeking the truth and not blindly accepting whatever is put before us. There are many, many things taught in the Christian church today that are not of the truth and have no basis in the new covenant, and often no scriptural or biblical basis whatsoever. And that's why we need to immerse ourselves in the truth through study of the scriptures and seeking the Lord, so that the Holy Spirit can do the guiding work that is his role. Now, we see over in Romans chapter 8 another aspect. Here we see a different aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit. When we come before God in prayer, we often don't know what we need, but the Holy Spirit does, and he will intercede on our behalf to the Lord as we pray, particularly when we pray in the Spirit. As it says in Romans 8, verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words." How do we pray in the Spirit? The same way the disciples did on Pentecost Day, through using the voice of the Spirit, which is speaking in tongues. The description in this scripture by Paul is about speaking in tongues. when we pray in a tongue, as Paul often taught and did, and as he describes further in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, saying, "What am I to do? I will pray with the spirit and I'll pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit and I'll sing with the mind also." He says we need to do both. And the reason why is seen in the Romans 8, verse 26 scripture. When we are weak, we need to rely on the strength of the Holy Spirit. And when we do not know what to pray for or how to pray over a certain matter, the Holy Spirit prays for us when we speak in tongues. And he knows what really is needed for us because he has direct access to the Father and he intercedes on our behalf. This is the armour of God. Furthermore, we see that we can stand against all forms of evil and all of the issues that may come up against us through the power of the Holy Spirit. This armour that is given to us is given so that we may be protected and be able to fight back against evil. And we see this in this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. And it says, "As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labours, watching, hunger, by purity, knowledge, forbearance, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left." Many are the afflictions that may come against us, but many also are the ways that we can endure and overcome. One of the most powerful of the weapons Paul describes here is the Holy Spirit, for he can overcome all of these things. Now, in this study, I'm looking at two parts to this last piece of armour. Let's look now briefly at the second piece, which is the Word of God. Probably one of the best examples of the power of the Word of God as a weapon against the evil one is seen when Jesus was tempted by the devil during his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. Satan attacked Jesus in many ways, and we see three of those attacks in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. In this section of scripture, Satan tempted Jesus with hunger, with fanaticism, and with riches and power. But in every case, Jesus withstood the temptations to overcome Satan. And how did he do this? Through his knowledge of the Word of God. In each case, he responded to the temptations of Satan by saying, "It is written." This is the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God in action. It is by the knowledge of the Scripture that Jesus could withstand and repel any of the attacks of the evil one. Now, one of the other things I should say, just as an aside, is that there are some people who believe that it's the Holy Spirit who is the sword of the Spirit, as spoken of in Ephesians chapter 6. But it's not. The sword of the Spirit is the Word, which can then be wielded, like a sword is wielded by a soldier, which can then be wielded by the Holy Spirit to be able to fight on our behalf. Now, we should note too that Satan even attempted to bring about Jesus' downfall by using scriptures too. Satan quoted scripture to Jesus to try and tempt him through applying the scriptures in a fanatical way. But we could see that Satan was mocking, and Jesus, knowing who he was dealing with, would have none of that. He replied with scripture to shut down Satan's attempt at tempting him. We too need to be aware that the scriptures can be twisted and bent. The Apostle Peter made this same point when he said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, "So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, speaking of this as he does in all his letters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures." Now, seeing this, that's why it's important to immerse yourself in the scripture so you're not led astray by someone who is twisting the scriptures to gain an advantage. This is also why there are two parts to this piece of armour of God. It's important to learn the scriptures, and it's also important to receive the Holy Spirit, whose role is to then open the scriptures so that you understand and can learn exactly what Jesus meant and so be properly armed. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is so powerful because it is the Word of God. Scripture, whether Old or New Testament, are the words of God. And as Paul writes to Timothy, it is all profitable for teaching and training, as he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The purpose of taking hold of the scripture as the word of God is so that we can learn what God wants of us. We learn how to behave as mature Christians through the study of the word of God so that we can teach others and all grow to maturity in Christ Jesus. The aim is for all of us to be complete in Jesus Christ and able to stand against the evil in this world. Finally, we see the power of searching the word and learning it. The Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 to 12, are often shown as an example of being good Bible students. Paul went to their town to preach the gospel, but they did not accept what he had to say without checking the scriptures for themselves. The scriptures show that they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Now these Bereans, they were not going to allow anyone to pull the wool over their eyes. They went back to the source, the words of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. They didn't blindly follow anyone. No snake or salesman would have had a chance with this group of people, for they did what we need to do today. They checked for themselves to see if what Paul was teaching was right. And when they checked, they discovered that what Paul was saying was right. And there were quite a number of these people who were converted to the Lord as a result. So, there's a couple of questions. Can you see now that it's not the Holy Spirit himself who is the sword of the Spirit, but it's the words of God wielded by the Holy Spirit that is the sword of the Spirit? Can you see now also how important it is to receive the Holy Spirit and to be able to receive the gifts of the Spirit so that you can use this piece of armour? Now, I'd ask you to just take a couple of moments to pray and ask the Lord to help you to understand not just the sword of the Spirit, but all of the pieces of armour of God. They are all important. And like a soldier, we can't go out into this battle, this spiritual battle, unless we are fully clothed. So just take a few moments to pray and ask the Lord to give you the insight that you need to understand the sword of the Spirit and to understand how to apply all of the rest of the pieces of armour of God. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this is just a very brief discussion and study on this last piece of the armour of God. And in fact, all of the other pieces, it's only a very brief touch on these things. It's meant to be a taste, and I'd hope that you would continue to seek and look for yourself. So this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast signing off. I hope you'll join me next week when I start a new study, and may the Lord bless you in the coming week, and I'll catch up with you then.